Good evening. This is Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Delegate Terry Kilgore, and Eastman Credit Union.
Welcome in here to Pigskin Picks on a Thursday night on 93.5 WXM. Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, Zach Helton here with you as always. As we got a big show for you tonight, getting you set for the big games coming up this week in Southwest Virginia high school football. And we'll also certainly talk about the games in college football in Northeast Tennessee, Eastern Kentucky as well. We'll recap the games from last week. Union's big win over Graham. We'll touch on that here coming up in a few moments, as well as what's next for the Bears, as we'll have their game against Gate City this coming Saturday, this coming Friday, tomorrow, on our station 92.5 and 1220 WLSD. Remember, special kickoff time, 7:30 at Bullet Park, pregame at 7 o'clock over on WLSD tomorrow night for the Bears and the Blue Devils. We'll also be joined by the head coaches in that matchup. Jeremy House out of Gate City, Travis Turner and Union will join us coming up in the next segment. Later on in the show, Marty Smith of ESPN and the SEC Network will join us to talk about his newest book, Sideline CEO, that comes out next Tuesday, September 26th. Go out there and find that book wherever books are sold. And we'll talk about the 1993 state champion, Giles Spartans, who beat Hayside in the state semifinal game. Remind me, Corey tomorrow wants me to say hello to James Colley for him.
I will.
And also we'll touch on Frank Beamer, Nick Saban, who are also big parts of his new book. And we'll touch on Tennessee and Virginia Tech this year as well there with Marty. And our Eastman Credit Union guest picker, Alan Gregory, will join us to pick some games from the Bristol Herald Courier later on in the show as well. But first, fellas, let's check in with you all. Zach, how are you, sir?
Man, if I was doing better, it would be illegal.
Illegal is the word of the day from Zach Helton. Corey, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Good mood. Washington, 2-0. Trying to go 3-0 for the first time, and probably since you were in diapers. I was 2005. So
I would not be in diapers when I was 8 years old. Yeah, thank you.
It depends.
He's a late bloomer, folks. He's a late bloomer.
Yeah. I didn't go to a Taylor Swift show. Corey.
Yes, sir.
Do you think they do it?
Do I think what?
They get the 3-0?
I don't know. Buffalo's a tough task, man. Josh Allen. Eric Bieniemy, what he's done with that offense is short of amazing, because the some of the stuff I've seen out of them this year, they look creative, high energy. I've seen them in person once, and just the way they battled back against Denver, my gosh, it's been impressive, man. So it's always good to watch good football. You know, unlike how Zach's dealing with Matt north of the border. So you know.
My football viewing hasn't been very pleasurable lately.
Phew. Welcome to my former world.
Well, it may be your world here soon. Unless you remember, you've played the Cardinals and the Broncos.
Yeah, but they're still wanting
the wins. No, you still got the wins. I'm saying.
Wins. Yeah. A former Super Bowl champion in Russell Wilson and former and the last quarterback to win at Georgia as a volunteer, so,
You're not going to see me say anything bad about Josh Dobbs. You know that. You're not going to see me say anything bad about him. I'm saying the rest of the team may not be very good there.
Man, but how bad are the Chargers, though?
The Chargers?
0-2? Getting ready to take on 0-2 Minnesota?
I think the Chargers are A-OK. They lost two games by, a total of 5 points, 6 points?
Yeah, little boy genius, though.
Yeah, they're going to be OK. They're going to be all right. I'm not giving up on the Chargers. You know that. I like Staley. God, I like him.
I don't know why.
Because everybody else doesn't. Because people don't like him. I go the opposite. I see no reason not to like him. He does things his own way.
His arrogance blinds him.
You and that word.
Arrogance?
Yes.
What do you mean, me and that word?
That's what you call the boy up in San Francisco, too, who's...
No, I call him stuff we can't really say on... I tell you one thing. Mike Shanahan, boy... He let the hair product go.
He was there, right?
Yeah, he looked like the ghost of Christmas past on Him and London Fletcher took a picture together.
Al Wilson was there. I saw Champ Bailey. I saw Peyton Manning was there. It was great to see all those
Champ
guys.
Bailey, he was on one
he's,
side.
He's been
Legend.
In both games,
yeah.
Right? For you all. Maybe he can be in Buffalo this week. But let's go get some games that happened this past week in high school football. Union over Graham, Zach. Hello, Bears. 27-14 over the G-Men. That winning streak is snapped. It's over with. Union takes down the G-Men at Mitchell Stadium, and they do it pretty emphatically in the Bears' regard there. Zach, what's your thoughts on this matchup of the big win for Union in Week 4?
Yeah, big win for Union. I think a few people were surprised by it. I think us included.
Mm-hmm.
But Union loves Mitchell Stadium. Two of their, I guess, biggest wins here recently, that game Friday and then that win in the spring playoff game all came at Mitchell Stadium. They play well up there. But here's the fact of the matter. If Union stays the course and Graham stays the course, I suspect these two to match up again in the region championship game. That game would be at Bullitt Park.
Yep.
Because, Sines Hill and Abingdon are definitely going to outpoint a few of Graham's opponents in that regard, and I think they will outpoint them now with the win. But that game at Bullitt Park will be special, but we've got plenty of football between now and then.
We certainly do, but Union does deserve a ton of credit. Keith Chandler, almost 150 yards rushing. Corey, he's had another big night for a sophomore. Darren Keith Chandler, Rayshon Anderson, a big night on the ground as well. But Union's defense shutting down the G-Men to get this big win and snapping that 33-game regular season winning streak and 18-game home winning streak for the G-Men.
Yeah, I mean, Union, well-oiled machine, man. And then I think we talked about that game last week against Science Hill. Maybe they got them ready for Graham and playing that style of athlete, too. So, Trev Turner's boys, they're humming. And this is what happens when you have one of those seasons where expectations go a little bit lower like last year, but all your young guys who are now sophomores and juniors now, they played together, and you're gonna have 3 years of this core together. You talked about Keith Chandler, Rayshon Anderson, although he is the senior, they've got other guys that can kind of step in there.
Sophomores.
Yeah, canines, man, they all are. And we talked about that line is which is key to their success, offensively and defensively. They are aggressive in those trenches. So not surprising that Union snuck a win out, as contradictory as it sounds. But, go ahead for the Bears, man.
And, everybody I've talked to that was at that game and saw it, they're saying Union really commanded this game a little bit more than 13 points says on the board. Graham fumbled the ball on the first play of the game. Union then scored on the next play when they got the ball back of Keith Chandler. And from there on in, it was all Bears at Mitchell Stadium in Bluefield on Friday night. And you're right, Zach. This game is going to happen again, most likely. Right now, it would actually be a region semifinal game if you look at the points, and I did it this week again. Union's back at the number one spot in Region 2D, even with the one loss. But as you said, that win over Science Hill, that Class 6 win counts big for them. So that's a win right now that has them in number one seed. Ridgeview is undefeated as number two. Gate City right now would be the number three seed in Region 2D. Graham would be the four seed, while Lehigh would be the five. Tazewell the six. Marion the seven. John Battle would be in the playoffs in that last spot in Region 2D right now. And then there's a tie for ninth place with Central and Virginia High on the outside. Looking again, the bottom two spots go to the two teams playing each other this week. Lebanon and Richlands. A little bit of a fool's errand to do the points this early. That's why I did it, because, you can make the jokes there by yourself. But Union right now sitting there in the top spot. If they keep winning, Region 2D will certainly run through Bullitt Park. And you bring up the points there, Zach. If you're able to get out of your region, remember the points matter as well when it comes to the state semifinal game. And that Science Hill, that Abingdon win, if they can get that later on in the year, that's why when we're going to pick games out on the show, they're going to be rooting hard for Science Hill against William Blount this week. They're going to be rooting hard for Science Hill going forward the rest of the year to pick up some wins and just add more points to that number there with the game against the Hilltoppers. Yes, it was a loss for them, but the loss already counts as a flat 14. They've already got two wins. That loss right now counts as 16 points to Union. That's pretty much beating a winless Region 1D team right now is what that counts to Union. That only gets better as you move forward. That can be a massive number for them if Science Hill can keep winning a few games for them and the Hilltoppers. Union's points could be really big for them if they can get out of the region, even host maybe a state semifinal game. But you don't want to get too far ahead of yourselves. But Chohalian and Eastside on Friday night was a big game in Region 1D. Warriors pull out the win 25-22. Zach was the only one on the east side. Chohalian now sits at 3-1. East side at 2-2. But, Zach, the Warriors were 0-10 a year ago. Came into the year losing their last 14 games going back to 2021. But now year one head coach Reed Sturgill's got this team sitting at 3-1 in a pretty good position for the Region 1D playoffs. Yeah, I think, Zach, Warriors are rolling pretty nicely for the early part of the year.
Yeah, I think so, too. Reed has kind of came out of his shell coaching-wise, and Jill Howie, I think they've got a spot here in what we see as a wide-open district now. The Hogo, in my opinion, is kind of wide open. Patrick Henry is vulnerable. Lebanon is gone. Holston seems maybe the cream of the crop right now, but when you go on the road and beat Eastside, I think that's a big win for Chilhowie. I like what they're doing there.
Yeah, Honaker obviously a heavy favorite there. Mm-hmm. But the defense, remember, Honaker's given up some points the last couple of weeks to Holston.
I always forget that Honaker's in the Hogo. I'm a Black Diamond guy, so.
Yes. There you go. Just joining the league this year, replacing Lebanon, who moved on to Region 2D and back to the Southwest District there. Chilhowie, also remember this. They had an inadvertent whistle that wiped off a fumble recovery for a touchdown there as well. So this would probably been even a little bit of a bigger win there for Chohalian on the board. And I believe that maybe riled up some folks in that Chohalian sideline at the time. And we know a few of those guys.
Not John Saban.
Other games in the area last week, Twin Springs over J.I. Burton, 49-12. We all had the Titans. Letcher County Central beat Central 48-6. Kenny Hawkins, our guest picker last week, was the only one on the Warriors. Corey, you saw this game.
Whew. Offensive woes continue for the Warriors, unfortunately. In back-to-back weeks, I did the math. They've been outscored at home 92-13, and that's in for the season right now. I think they're averaging under 10 points per game, and it just hasn't been clicking. It looks like they made some changes offensively on the sideline and on the field. Last week, Owen Amos came in there, but he had some issues, so he didn't play the rest of the way. They had Sincere Haggins out there. Ethan Collins had a nice touchdown. And I thought that another thing you see out of them, 2 weeks in a row, they've had the ball inside the opponent seven and have came away with no points on those two drives. So it's been a rough one for Central. And, you know, hopefully they take this bye week. They can come back. And then they got a big one against Aberdeen next week.
Yeah, we'll be there for WAXM next week when they take on the Falcons. Most of our points they've scored this year is 14.
Yep.
Against Eastside.
That's it.
They scored 12 against Marion, 7 against Ridgeview, 6 this past week against Letcher County Central. That's a total of 39. As you say, less than 10 on the year. 39 divided by 4 is less than 10. Yep. There for the Warriors. Bye week coming at a good time for Jason Mullins' squad. Ridgeview with a little bit of trouble against 1-3 Virginia High, but they get the win 16-0. We all have the Wolfpack. Rye Cove shuts out Thomas Walker 44-0. We all have the Eagles. Once again, Rye Cove has not given up a point this year against an opponent not named Honaker. So that defense is still rolling as long as they're not playing the Tigers. Gate City defeats Marion 20-7. Honaker over Holston 42-27. And it was Lebanon over Castlewood 49-6. Kenny was the only one on the Blue Devils. Last week, myself and Corey went 8 out of 9. The only game we missed, Graham Union. Zach, 7 out of 9. And Kenny, 6 out of 9. Standings, Corey and Jacob, 30 out of 39. Zach, 29 out of 39 in Southwest Virginia. In Northeast Tennessee, Maryville beat Science Hill 37-18. Sevier County over Tennessee High 28-7. We all had both of those winners. Dobbins Bennett over Asheville, North Carolina 41-16. We all had the Indians there as well. But it was Westridge over William Blount 49-38. Myself and Zach had the Wolves. Zach and I went perfect. Corey and Kenny missed one. In Tennessee, I have 25. Corey and Zach have 20. Eastern Kentucky, Lehigh beat Pineville. Lehigh's got back-to-back wins as they blow out the Mountain Lions, 56-28. Mountain Lions now 0-5. Lehigh,
you got the batteries down in Lee County.
Yeah, watch out. Hey, they haven't had a home district game since the Union won. That's coming up here. Maybe Joe Carroll's squad picking a little momentum. We'll see how they do in Rose Ridge this coming Friday helmet. Night. Where WXM is heading. Yes, yeah. They are. Aaron Collier will be there for that one on WXM. We're switching spots on him this week.
Yeah.
I didn't see any need of me going to Rose Ridge, right? I live in Big Stone. Let's go to Bullock Park and see what's going on there.
And I live in Gate City, so yeah.
I have a weird schedule.
A Union Bear and a guy who lives in Blue Devil Town.
Do not call me a Union Bear. Let's not rile up the folks. I went there. Doesn't mean anything else.
You are a Union Bear. You're an alum.
I have a diploma somewhere.
Zach, are you a Blue Tornado?
I'm a Blue Tornado.
There you go.
I didn't play football.
I'm a Blue Tornado. I guess.
It don't matter. It don't matter. I'm still a Bruin. I didn't play at Forest Park.
I'm just saying. Let's not get anything going here. Let's not rile up the folks.
I hear you, Mr. Bear. We got you.
Stop that, Tanner Cook. Johnson County 45, Harlan, Kentucky 14. Everybody was on the Longhorns. Perry County Central over Shelby Valley 58-42. We all had Shelby Valley. Oops. Prestonsburg over Pike County Central 13-7. Zach, the only one on Prestonsburg. Bikeville over Belfort 40-21. We all had Belfort. Oops. And Knott County Central over Phelps 51-6. Corey, the only one who picked Phelps last week. Zach had 4. I had 3. Corey had 2. Standings in Kentucky. Myself 23. Zach 21. Corey 18. High school last week. Myself and Zach 15 out of 19. Corey 13 out of 19. High school standings. Myself 78. Zach 71, Corey 66. Let's pick some games in Eastern Kentucky, your fellas. Harlan and Pineville. Somebody trying to find their way right now. Harlan 1-4. Pineville 0-5. Corey, who wins?
Let's go Harlan.
Harlan gets win number 2 for Corey. Zach?
Yeah, I'm going to go bloody Harlan in this one as well.
Harlan for everybody so far. I'll go Harlan as well. The all-time series is close, about as close as it can be. 51 wins for Harlan, 50 wins for Pineville, 4 ties. Harlan won it last year. I'll go Harlan again. Paintsville travels to Leslie County. Paintsville's 1-3. Leslie County's 3-2. Zach, who wins?
I think Leslie County paints it red. Gets the win.
Leslie County for Helton. Sanchez.
Let's go with Leslie.
Leslie County for everybody. I will as well. The first ever matchup between these two. Letcher County Central travels to Breckford County. Cougars 3-2. Corey, you saw them last week taking on Breckford County on the road. Who's 2-3?
You know me. I'm down with LCC.
LCC for Corey. Zach?
Yes, Cougs all the way.
LCC for Zach and Corey. LCC for me. They've won the last 4 in the series after Breckford County won the first 3. Pike County Central travels to Floyd Central 4-1 at 3-2. Who wins in this matchup, Zach?
You know what? Pike County Central, they've been a doormat for years, and they finally kind of got something really good together. I'm going to Pike County Central on the road.
Pike County Central for Zach. Corey?
Yeah, let's go with PCC.
They actually control the all-time series 6-0. Let's make it 7-0. We're all unanimous. That scares me half to death. I'm going to go Pike County Central on the road. Jeremy Alstrott, the head coach of the Gate City Blue Devils. Travis Turner, the head coach of the Union Bears. They're joining us next to preview their big matchup coming up this Friday night that you can listen to on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, and online at WLSDradio.com. That's coming up next right after this break as we continue on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Healthkeepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Healthkeepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend here with you tonight. Corey Sanchez and Zach Helton will rejoin us coming up later on in the show. We're going to talk some college football in the next segment. Also later on, don't forget Marty Smith of ESPN and the SEC Network will join us coming up later on in the show as well to promote his newest book, Sideline CEO, that comes out this coming Tuesday, I beg your pardon, September 26th is when his new book will come out. We'll touch on that with Marty, that book. Also, his time growing up in Southwest Virginia playing high school football for Giles, winning a state title in 1993, beating Hayside in the state semifinal game that year in 1993. Also talk about some current college football topics that include Tennessee and Virginia Tech. So certainly stay tuned for that coming up later on in the show as well. But in this segment, we get you set for the big game we got on our sister station 92.5 and 1220 WLSD and online at WLSDradio.com tomorrow night. Union plays host to Gate City. Last week, we talked to the head coach of the Bears, Travis Turner, leading into their big game on the road at Graham. Everybody picked the G-men on this show and everywhere else. Union controlled the game from the beginning. A fumble by Graham on the first play led to one play later, Union punching it in for a touchdown on the following play to begin their first drive of the game against the G-men and go on to win that game 27-14. Gate City, they're coming off a loss to Abingdon 2 weeks ago, but a win over Marion 20-7 last week. Both teams come into this game sitting 3-1 on the year. This is Gate City's first district game. This will be Union's second district game. Union already has the win over Lehigh from week one. Let's start off this segment talking to the head coach of the Blue Devils who are coming on the road to Bullet Park tomorrow night. And remember that the game will be a different time. We're going old school. Kickoff will not be at 7 o'clock in Big Stone Gap tomorrow night, but kickoff will be at 7:30 tomorrow night at Bullet Park. Pre-game for us over on WLSD will begin at 7 o'clock with myself and Corey Sanchez. So a lot to look forward to there in that matchup between the Blue Devils and the Bears tomorrow night. And here's my conversation with the head coach of the Gate City Blue Devils. Coming off two wins over Union a year ago, now trying to make it three straight and get a big win on the road to open up Mountain District play for them. Here's the head coach of the Blue Devils, Jeremy Housewright. Coach, let's start off here. You're coming off the tough loss to Abingdon from 2 weeks ago going into last week's game against Marion. How did you like how your team responded after the first defeat of the year?
Yeah, I think the kids did a very good job. They came into the week a little more focused, and they prepared hard, and we were able to get the win last week.
You had a different expectation on this team this year because of some difficult years in the years past. You went into the last year sort of going under the radar, lost the first two games the year they made the big run, including wins over Abingdon and Union, won a playoff game over Union last year. Different expectations on this team going into this season. Do you think your team sort of maybe wasn't ready for the expectations going into the Abingdon game in week three, but now are coming off the loss and have a different level of focus?
You know, it's a little different. I mean, the expectation here has never changed from year to year, no matter what the outside and everybody thinks about it. But, I think we're just learning how to, the only thing different about it is we're learning how to try to deal with the expectations that we have on it, we put on ourselves and what everybody else on the outside thinks about us now.
Jeremy Housewright, that coach of the Gate City Blue Devils, running here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. You've all played some close games so far. Now, obviously, you had the blowout win over Richland in week one, but a closer win over Middlesbrough in week two, a close loss to Abingdon in week three, and then last week's win over Marion wasn't a blowout. 20-7 was the final score. Do you think these close games are going to help your team down the stretch of the season going into Mountain District play, where you're going to be seeing some close games against a lot of opponents, maybe even this week against Union, where you all are going to already be ready for that sort of test going late into the fourth quarter, where your team's already been tested in those moments?
I think it's always good to I think it's always good to play some close games. That way you can figure out, you learn how to win them or learn what you need to do to try to win them. You know, I think it's been good for us. You know, I think that's just kind of who we are right now. We're going to play hard against everybody, and I don't think many of our games are going to be blowouts.
What have you seen from Union on film for the first 4 weeks? They're coming off the big win over Graham this past week for Travis Turner's squad. You saw them twice last year. What have you seen on film from this year that may be a little bit different from what you saw in 2022?
You know, probably, you know, most of those guys are a year older for them. You know, they're still the same Union. Coach Turner does a heck of a job, and he's got those guys ready to go. And, you know, they're just really, really good football team.
What are going to be the biggest keys for you all on Friday night going against Union and Bullet Park?
Keys for us, we're going to have to kind of control our emotions a little bit. You know, you don't want to get too high, don't want to get too low. You know, it's got to be a steady, slow burn for us. You know, we got to take care of the football offensively. And then defensively, we got to tackle better at times. And, you know, we just got to fly around and do what we do, and we'll see what happens.
That was head coach of the Gate City Blue Devils, Jeremy Housewright, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Blue Devils looking for a third straight win over Union. They beat them at Gate City in the regular season last year, then at Gate City again in the first round of the Region 2D playoffs. That was the first time since the first year of the school for Union, 2011, that they didn't win at least one playoff game. They lost last year on the road at Gate City twice. Now they get Gate City at home this time around. For the Bears, come off the big win over Graham a week ago, a loss to Science Hill out of Tennessee 2 weeks ago for Travis Turner's squad. They look to keep building on that as this big run in the middle part of the season continues for Union against Gate City tomorrow night. Here's my conversation with head coach of the Bears, Travis Turner. Coach, let's start off with the game last week. We talked a lot about, when we spoke last week, about trying to stop Graham and their talented backfield and their talented athletes across the field in general there for the G-men. Your defense did that really well in the 27-14 victory. What were the biggest things that they did throughout the game that really held G-men's offense in a hold there to where you all were able to control the game with your offense thanks to your defense?
Yeah, I thought defensively, I thought our defensive line played their best game of the year, stopping the run, you know, forcing Graham in the second and long, third and long in passing situations. And the inside linebackers did a great job. Isaac Keith and Keyshawn Anderson, both of them played really well for us. You know, Keyshawn causes a fumble early in the game on the first drive, and we scoop it up. And then we score on the next play on offense to kind of give us the momentum. So we played just complimentary football with our offense, defense, and special teams.
You bring up that first sequence of plays there where Graham fumbles the ball on the first play of the game. Then your offense comes out and takes it to the end zone with Keith Chandler on the first play, just a play later on your first possession. As an offensive coach, would you rather have an offensive drive that sort of is your usual 8 to 12 play drive, taking a few minutes off the clock, you just sort of matriculate that ball down the field, as Hank Stram would say? Or are you okay with the big play there to get it on the field there, and or would you rather try to build some rhythm of your offense on the first drive?
I think the more times you can get the ball in the end zone, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah.
So if we can score every play we get, I like it.
Very good.
But it got us the momentum. It got us the momentum. Got our kids going, and we get played with a lot of confidence after that.
Travis Turner joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Your offense controlled the game with the running game, a lot to do with Keith Chandler, but also Rayshon Anderson as your quarterback as well. And I know what you're going to say as well in just a moment about your offensive line. What were the big things they did well in the game to really get a good push to help lead Rayshon and Keith into a good running game for them against that G-men defense?
I thought we did a good job, you know, on our double team combo blocks. Our tackles and guards did a really good job of getting great double teams and sliding off, picking up their stunting linebackers. Graham does a really good job defensively stunting backers and moving their defensive front. And our offensive line did a good job picking up their blitzes and opening up some holes for our running backs.
everybody wants to always talk about this game, and this is whether it's Graham winning it like they have the last 2 years in a regular season or you all now winning it this time, and that says, well, it's now setting up the rematch, and this now decides where the rematch is going to be played at come November, I should say, in the postseason. How do you make sure your team is, yes, celebrating what they did Friday night in winning, beating Graham, first time they've lost a regular season game in 33 games, first time they've lost a home game since you all beat them in the spring of 21 where they had won 18 straight there at Mitchell Stadium. How are you making sure your team is still focused on the idea of you've still got, six more games left in the regular season and most likely even a few playoff games, hopefully, before you ever see Graham again?
Well, you know, we turn our attention to Gate City. All you got to do is say Gate City, and our guys should be focused and ready to play. So, and, you know, playing in the Mountain 7 every week, man, it's going to be tough with Ridgeview, Y Central, John Battle playing really good football. So every Friday night's going to be a challenge. So, I mean, you can't overlook it or try to jump ahead to the playoffs and worry about home field. You just got to take it 1 week at a time. And this Friday night's our biggest game of the year against Gate City. Playing an arch rival that's beat us twice, and it's playing really good football right now.
You bring up the Gate City game there and just saying that, and you bring up the fact if you lost to them twice a year ago, once at Gate City in the regular season, then once again at Gate City in the first round of the playoffs. How much of what you've seen out of Jeremy Housewright's squad for their first four games on film, how much do they look similar to what they did last year where they had a lot of success?
Very similar. I mean, he's got the program going in the right direction. They got a lot of kids out. Their numbers are up from years past. And typical Gate City football, they fly around and to the football, and they play hard-nosed football and get after it. So it's definitely going to be a challenge this Friday night for sure.
You bring up the fact that you lost to them twice last year. How much is that when you hear, now maybe not even what you say to your team in the practice and the lead up to this game this week, how much are you hearing that from your leaders when they're reminding everybody else that Gate City not only beat you last year, but they ended your season as well come November?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was heartbreaking last year losing to Gate City. It was definitely tough. You know, we had a tough week of practice that week. We had some issues going on throughout the week. We didn't have enough kids showing up to practice, and don't want to make any excuses, but that played an effect to it. But, you know, Gate City played a really good football game, and they deserve to win that playoff game. And, you know, our guys should be motivated. I mean, it's a new year, a new team, and we're playing at home, so we should be motivated and ready to go.
What's going to be the biggest keys for you all against Gate City on Friday night at Bullet Park?
Obviously, I think you got to be able to run the football and stop and run. You know, our offense line, defense line play is going to be key. And we're going to have to be able to make tackles in space. We're going to have to be able to tackle their running backs and their receivers when they throw the bubble screens or the slip screens or the quick slants. And we got to be able to rally to the football and be able to tackle those guys in space. And the quarterbacks, they got good quarterback play in Bledsoe. And I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the Mountain 7 and in this region who can make plays with his arm and his legs.
That was head coach of the Union Bears, Travis Turner, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Against Union, hosting Gate City tomorrow night at Bullet Park in Big Stone Gap. Special kickoff time. This time, it will be at 7:30 in Big Stone Gap. Pre-game over on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, and online at WLSDradio.com. We'll be at 7 o'clock with myself and Corey Sanchez on the call as we move over to WLSD tomorrow night for this big game between the Blue Devils and the Bears. Thanks so much to Jeremy Housewright and Travis Turner for joining us tonight. Coming up after the break, Corey and Zach rejoin me. We touch on some college football topics, including Tennessee's big loss to Florida last week, Virginia Tech, as they've now lost back-to-back games to Big Ten opponents Purdue and Rutgers. And anybody want some changes to your eliminator? Alabama's not looking great there, Corey. How you feeling about the Crimson Tide? We'll hit that when we come back as we continue Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
He was born in the summer of his Kenny's seventh year, coming home to a place he'd never been.
Zach Helton, this was your choice, and it was a the reasoning was, I believe, have to do with a little prime time, right?
Love what Prime's doing. Let me tell you something. I never went to a game in Boulder when I lived out in western Nebraska, but I drove through there one time. It is a beautiful campus. That part of Colorado is awesome. And I worked with a guy. He was a huge Colorado fan when I was in Nebraska. He and our sports director, who was a Nebraska fan, they would go at it all the time. And Lynn was a tremendous guy. And every time I think about Colorado, I think about him. He passed away after I left there, but man, he was an awesome guy, and I'm all about what the Colorado Buffaloes are doing right now.
Oh, yeah.
It was all some hats and glasses the other night there against Colorado State. They pulled out, though, against the Rams. A little bit closer, maybe people thought, maybe a little bit closer. Yeah. As you know, Dion was already telling about how he was going to shake hands after the game prior to winning the game, but that's another
thing. It's funny. It's funny. They got his mom in there
to talk to him,
and he's like, and what did she say? I told him, you know, don't show him some grace and all this stuff, but kick butt and everything.
Yeah, she said something else.
Well, you know, derrieres.
Yeah.
And what I found was funny, too. So, like we said in the beginning, Washington played out in Denver. Half the D.C. media was there in Boulder because I guess it's not that far from Denver. And they went out there and they used their media credentials and they hit some media spots out there. So, it's a fun environment. I fell asleep on the game because I'm getting old and I can't really stay up that late. But I went to sleep and woke up happy to see Prime and them had tiptoed in overtime for the W. And Norvell, sometimes you just got to shut your mouth. And why give somebody fire?
I understand.
When you don't need it, why give it to them?
I understand. You know, they played each other in the NFL, too. Norvell was a Colt. With Peyton Manning, when Dion was in with the Falcons at one time, they did play each other at that point as well.
Okay.
Norvell, a wide receiver, Dion, a defensive back.
And I guess Dion.
There you go.
Did Dion shut him up?
There you go.
Lock him up.
But they did get the win there for Colorado the other night. They're now 3-0. We'll pick their game against Oregon later on.
What do you think about this as an old curmudgeon of college football, Jacob?
I think it's great that Colorado is back on the scene.
I didn't ask you that.
I have to like everything.
I didn't ask you that.
Everything that's going on with Dion. I promise you that right now. I love when I watch a locker room speech of your football team and then you say, play my theme music.
I love it.
I don't love that.
I love it.
I can't stand it. I hate it. With everything in my being.
Well, you know what else?
I love that Colorado is relevant again. I love that.
I love the whole thing because it's kind of like it's almost like the Tiger Woods effect on golf.
I think it's good for the sport.
Yeah, I think it's great for the sport.
Doesn't mean I have to like every bit of it. I didn't love everything with Tiger. I love Tiger. I like Dion. I've always liked Dion, the player.
Like I said,
I like Dion, the TV guy. I'm getting used to Dion, the coach that does it his own way.
Portnoy loves him.
I saw. I didn't love the fact of Saturday morning that he was already talking about how he was going to shake hands with the guy after the game. You know, maybe win the game first. It wasn't that easy, was it, Dion? This wasn't Nebraska.
Well, he was sending out hired assassins against your players.
Yeah, I understand.
I mean, there was a lot of dirty, and Shadur also, with the eye poking out. Yeah. You know, it is what it is. But
it was a very feisty game. A little feisty between the Buffaloes and the Rams. And you know what? That's good.
Can we get that out of UVA and Tech?
Who gets the first conference win at the end of the year? We'll have to figure out.
That's a low blow. That's a
toilet bowl.
I'm sorry.
The toilet bowl.
Yeah. It's going to be played at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, Virginia Tech going to be going for like win number four. Well,
it'll be 8 a.m. on the ACC network.
CW.
No, it'd be on the ACC network plus. Yeah.
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 All the as seen on TV rejects that can't make it.
Cam Lejeune will be right on there.
Yep. Tom Wormy, James Bates on the call. Wormy, who was also on One Tree Hill at one time.
I would much rather drink Camp Lejeune water than watch that.
There it is. All righty. There we go.
Talking about it, Jacob, something you didn't like. Gators.
Yeah. Before we get to that, though, let's go ahead and hand out the Terry Kilgore Leadership Award. Let's not forget about the good delegate Terry Kilgore and a guy who played well. Somebody needed a quarterback the other night, and they had one. That was Lee High. 15 out of 22, 267 yards, and 6 touchdowns for Bryson Pendergraft in Lee High's victory over Pineville out of Kentucky, 56-28. Bryson Pendergraft. Is it Brennan Pendergraft? Brennan Pendergraft. That's on me.
Wow.
Hey, Brennan Pendergraft. I said it. I said, you know what, Jacob? I don't think you're saying that.
Wow.
Brennan Pendergraft.
We apologize.
The quarterback. Yeah, well, yeah, hop in line. Brennan Pendergraft, 15 out of 22, 267 yards, 6 touchdowns for Lee High in their win over Pineville. Congratulations to Brennan Pendergraft, the quarterback of the Generals. And you can see how they do against Ridgeview tomorrow night right here on WAXM. But, Corey, you brought it up there. Woo! Florida and Tennessee, 29-16. Woo! Gators.
Boy.
Gators get the win over the Volunteers, who came into the game ranked number 11. We were all the Vols. I'll let you start off here, Corey. Gators, big win in the Swamp for Billy Napier and the Gators. They do it again. Remember last year, the big win over Utah early on of the year? This time, it's over Tennessee.
See, you see my shirt. I wore this in honor of Billy Napier.
It's aggressive.
It's aggressive. This type of person I am sometimes. Yeah. But, no, man, I was kind of floored by the results. It's like your boys came out there with no pulse for the most part. Yeah. And, I'm glad you were at home in the comfort of your own living room and like you weren't out in public and you couldn't get angry or anything like that.
No, not me.
Suffer in silence. But it's frustrating. These are kind of those frustrating losses. Now, if this was a closer loss, I could understand. But this game, in all intents and purposes, it was over with at halftime for the most part. Now, I know y'all made a game. Y'all tried to make a game of it in the second half, but it was all for naught down there in the Swamp. And Florida, I mean, they're coming alive, boys.
Tennessee had their chances in the second half. They outgained Florida by about 200 and almost 250 yards in the second half. A lot of opportunities there for the Vols in the second half, Zach, but a lot of turnovers on downs for Tennessee there that stunted some drives inside Florida's side of the field there for the Volunteers in the last 30 minutes. But Florida gets the big win while Tennessee leaves Gainesville with question marks. That seems like that's been a pattern there for many years.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned the second half because that's kind of when I got to tune in after our game in Charlotte, and I was listening on the way home, and one of the people I was working with and was riding back with me, I said, man, if Tennessee could sustain a drive here, they could get out of there with a win, but they could not do it. And the curse of the Swamp continues for Tennessee. But, man, Florida played tough. I like them defensively. They are a very fast and aggressive group. It's pretty much essentially what you expect out of any Florida team. And I think they're going to be a force in that SEC East. I'm looking forward to that game in Jacksonville in a few weeks.
Yeah, it should be a big game there for Florida because they've now put themselves in a conversation of a chance. And remember, they got Kentucky coming up in a couple weeks as well in Lexington. Could be a big game there for the Wildcats and the Gators. Tennessee had their chances in this game. They took the lead early on. They actually led it 7-0, and then Florida answered with a run after Tennessee had a guy tackled, and he just bounced off the defenders and ran 60 yards to the house for the touchdown. Florida missed field goal early. They missed extra points after that touchdown. Gators gave them a chance. This wasn't a perfect game played by Florida, but it was a perfect game plan by Billy Napier. And Tennessee's got to find some answers. I'm asking the question, what's the best road win by Josh Heupel? It's not a big one right now. Mm-mm. Year one at Kentucky, maybe last year at Pittsburgh. His best comeback win is at Pittsburgh last year when they trailed by two touchdowns early. When they get down, they've not shown an ability to get back so far under him in this offense. And this offense has been bad for the first 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Been bad. They had bad drives against Virginia in week one where they looked slow in the first half. They couldn't get anything going against Austin Peay in week two. And then last week they looked really bad against Florida. They got to find some answers, and they got a big one against I told you to watch this game in the preseason, fellas, when they take on Party in the UTSA this week at Neyland Stadium, 4 o'clock kick. UTSA's got to find some answers, too. Frank Wilson's been hurt, their quarterback. He didn't play against Army last week. But Tennessee has got to find their way before South Carolina comes to town the week after that in prime time in Neyland Stadium. I'm not in panic mode right now, but there are some questions plenty right now for Tennessee in life after Hendon Hooker. This offense was never going to be as good as it was last year. If you thought it was, you were wrong. They lost an NFL quarterback. They lost two NFL wide receivers. They lost a tight end. They lost a first-round pick on the offensive line. They were not going to be able to replace all those guys and be as good. But they were supposed to be better than this. And right now, that's a question right now for Josh Heupel and the Volunteers. Rutgers beats Virginia Tech 35-16. Rutgers now 3-0. Zach, I'll just toss this one to you here quickly. Virginia Tech loses back-to-back games to Big Ten teams.
Dumpster fire.
That's all?
That's it.
Okay, thank you very much. Corey, you and I had Rutgers. Kenny and Zach had Tech. North Carolina 31-13 over Minnesota. We were on the Tar Heels. West Virginia. Hello, Neil Brown. 2-1. They beat Pittsburgh, who's now 1-2, 17-6. Kenny and Corey had the Mountaineers. I'll say this. Neil Brown was on a big hot seat coming into the year. They got blown out by Penn State in week one. Maybe that seat's getting a little bit cooler there for the Mountaineers and Neil Brown.
I think Neil Brown can only coach when he's on a hot seat, so maybe you just light that thing on fire.
Light it up like a couch.
Get him a hot couch. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Maryland beats Virginia 42-14. Oh, my gosh, this next score. Worst loss in ETSU football history. Austin Peay unzipped their fly.
That one time, I remember.
I'm sorry?
They even took a break that one time.
Yeah, they did. They did for a little bit of over a decade. Yeah, thanks for the reminder.
You still had like a gap of years where they didn't play, and this is still the worst.
This is still the worst. Yeah, still the worst. Thanks for that. Austin Peay for ETSU, 63-3, Real of the Governors. They unzipped their fly and unleashed the bladder all over them as Austin Peay just absolutely ravaged ETSU.
Hey, I will say this. That wouldn't have happened in the Dome.
No, it would not have. Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's what they need. They need to get back to the Dome.
Get back to the Dome.
Yeah, that stadium's so nice now, the William B. Green Jr. Stadium. That's now also titled something else because they sold some sponsorship rights to somebody. I don't know. My alma mater's in trouble. Austin Peay over ETSU, 63-3.
Are you a Buccaneer?
Oh, I'm a Buccaneer.
But you're not a Bear.
I'm not a Bear.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I'm just saying. I'm a Buccaneer. I'll always be a Buccaneer. You know that, Corey.
Uh-huh.
What's on the shirt?
You're in baseball.
I'm ETSU baseball. Welcome to baseball season. Tusculum over Wingate, 23-21. We all had Wingate. Oops. Limestone blowing out Carson Newman, 45-14. What's up, Mike Furry? I was the only one of the Saints. They're coming to Wise this weekend. Newberry over Emory Henry, 25-23. 8 overtimes. Longest game in Division II history ends in an Emory Henry loss, the way you like it, Corey. Yes. 8 overtimes, fellas. What was the score? 25-23.
That's just unnatural.
Now, I remember the overtime rule of the 2-point conversion.
Yeah, I know.
But
that's
still
unnatural.
25-23. Kenny was down one on the Wasps. And Barton over UVA Wise, 28-24. We're all the Bulldogs. Corey and Jacob, 7 out of 10. Kenny and Zach, 5 out of 10. Standings in college, myself, 18. Corey and Zach, 16. Let's hit the eliminator here, fellas. Corey's team, Alabama, USC, LSU, and Michigan. My team, Georgia, Notre Dame, Penn State, and Texas. Zach, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, and Utah. Nobody had anybody lose last week, but boy, were there some opportunities. Corey, Alabama beat South Florida 17-3. USC was on a bye week. LSU blew out Mississippi State 41-14, and Michigan slept walks for a 31-6 win over Bowling Green. Any changes for you, sir?
Once they put one last week.
Okay. Alabama does play Ole Miss this week. We'll see how that goes there for the Tide. LSU travels to Arkansas. It's come off a tough loss to BYU. And Harbaugh returns for Michigan. All right. I've got Georgia, Notre Dame, Penn State, and Texas. Penn State got by Illinois. Georgia slept one against South Carolina. Texas was actually tied going into the fourth quarter against Wyoming. But I'm going to stay put as well. Zach, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, Utah. Florida State snuck by Boston College, where they stay alive, and Ohio State's offense came to life against Western Kentucky. Any changes for you, sir?
Yeah, I'm a little weary of my team. It's going too well at this point.
12-0.
Too well. It's going too well at this point. I am going to stick in place right now. I'm on the fence. I kind of want to drop someone for Ole Miss, but I don't quite know who, so that's probably a good mental thing to tell me not to make any changes.
Reminder, big games coming up in the Pac-12 this week. Yeah. Utah's got UCLA. Nobody is Oregon right now. They're sitting at number 10. They host Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon State, Washington State sitting out there. The only three teams from the Pac-12 on the board right now, USC for Corey. Zach has two of them, Washington and Utah. So we'll see what happens there in those big games. So
I'm
nobody make any changes.
Guy. I'm a big Pac-12 guy.
Go out with them, pal. Go out with them. Let
you know, I have insomnia, so I stay up late and watch these games.
Same here, partner. Same here. So everybody stay and put the Eliminator for one more week. No changes the last 2 weeks. We'll see if that stays the way going into next week for us. Coming up, we're going to talk some college football. ESPN and SEC Network's Marty Smith will join us to talk about his new book, Sideline CEO. It comes out this coming Tuesday, September 26th. We'll also do some college football topics there with Marty as well. And his time playing high school football in Southwest Virginia at Giles, where he won the 1993 state title over Hayside in the state semifinal game. They knocked off the Tigers there and James Colley 8-0 in a Mud Bowl game there for Giles and Hayside. We'll touch on all that, and then we'll have our guest picker, Alan Gregory, join us after that as we continue the night on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend here with you. Corey Sanchez and Zach Helton will join us coming up in just a few moments when we get to our Eastman Credit Union guest picker for the night as we pick some college football games and some high school football games in Northeast Tennessee and Southwest Virginia with Alan Gregory, our friend of the show from the Bristol Herald Courier, joining us coming up here later on in just a few moments. But in this segment, we talked to a man from Southwest Virginia, but certainly moved on up now of ESPN and the SEC Network. That's Marty Smith, who has a new book out, Sideline CEO, Leadership Principles from Championship Coaches. Marty, as always, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
Thank you for having me, brother. I appreciate it. Old Alan Gregory's a legend now.
Well, he's certainly a legend with us, and I'll certainly pass that along to Alan that you think so as well, and hopefully that will lead to some good picks for him coming up in the next segment when he joins us, as he's certainly as is a friend of ours, always a loyal listener, and always a good buddy to talk to there for Alan from the Bristol Herald Courier. Marty, let's start off here with this new book. I read your previous one. Hadn't got a chance yet to read this one that comes out on September 26th, Sideline CEO. Your previous one, Never Settle, Sports Family, and the American Soul, I really enjoyed. It was more about you and your story. What is the concept behind this book?
Well, first of all, thank you for reading the first one. I appreciate that. This one kind of came to me, the title hit me first, and it's a baller title. I mean, Sideline CEO, that's a really cool title. And from there, that was about 5 years ago. And I sort of had this concept that I wanted to interview these coaches that through my ESPN life, I've had the blessing of getting to know and spend time with, about leadership and how leadership helps shape them, but then how they've enveloped that into their own daily walk and how they lead the young people that they're coaching now. And I had the idea for a couple of years, and then when COVID hit in 2020, I was at home for an extended period of time for the first time in my adult life. You know, we're sports reporters, man. We're on the run. And my wife and I were very intentional during that time about our time with one another, our time with our kids. But we got a couple months in, and, you know, I started wondering, what if sports doesn't come back? Like, what am I going to do? And so I thought, okay, let me control what I can control. And one thing I can control is to go ahead and start this book project. And if I'm at home yearning for fellowship, maybe these coaches are too. So I called Mac Brown first. And 53 minutes later, I'd gone to a master class. 2 days later, I called Urban Meyer, and that left no doubt. 57 minutes after I called Urban, I thought, man, this thing's got some juice. Like, there's some really interesting commentary in here. And I set forth on starting it, started it. I didn't know exactly how to write it. Should each chapter be a coach? How should I do it? And then I read a book called I Want My MTV during COVID, and it was written in an oral history style. Mm-hmm. And I shot up out of bed and said, dude, that's it. And I went to work on it. And ultimately, my publisher back last fall decided they needed a book and wanted me to do this one. So I set forth on finishing it. I interviewed 20 different championship coaches, including Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney, Mac Brown, Roy Williams, Tom Izzo, Doc Rivers, Urban, Patty Gasso, Kim Mulkey, Jimbo Fisher, on and on. It's genuinely a who's who of championship minds and championship leaders. And I feel like that there's tutelage and wisdom in these pages that people can envelop into their daily walk just as I have.
And I want to hit on a couple of those coaches you bring up there. Let's start off with Nick Saban, the greatest college football coach of all time. What are these principles that you learned from Nick, and maybe even you learned from him prior to the interview and getting ready for this book? Obviously, you've spoke with Nick on a number of occasions. You had him on your previous TV show. I remember when you and Tim Tebow were jumping off his dock there at his lake house a few years back on the show. So you've obviously had a relationship with Nick. You interview him every year at SEC Media Days with Ryan McGee. What is it of the principles that you learned from Nick that you've tried to install into your life?
There were a couple. First is mediocre people don't like high achievers, and high achievers don't like mediocre people. And I've really tried to unpack that line, because to me, what that line means is mediocre people just want to tear down people who desire to find their best self. In other words, unmotivated, disinterested, apathetic participants don't like motivated, unstoppable forces. Mm-hmm. Any number of reasons why, but mostly it's insecurity. And most of those reasons are nothing more than excuses to deflect their own chosen mediocrity. It's human nature for us to get insecure around people who want it worse than we want it, and who just don't care for anything that stands in the way toward finding that optimum self. And, you know, rather than finding inspiration in that example, those folks choose to deflect their own shortcomings through criticism or hatred or making fun of other people. It's weak and it's toxic and it's unproductive. Meanwhile, those people who are elite, hardworking, motivated, passionate, they don't have time or interest for people that don't operate on that frequency. And they don't have energy to waste on excuses. They're tuned to different precision frequencies that are required for that mindset of digging deep enough to find that best self. You've heard it before. Mm-hmm. Lions pay no mind to the opinions of sheep. Easy to say, it's not always easy to do. And I just love that line. Mediocre people don't like high achievers, and high achievers don't like mediocre people. So I loved that from Coach Saban. But I think probably the thing from him that I, you know, you've always heard of the process.
Mm-hmm.
He really described and detailed for me when the process was born. It was way back when he was at Michigan State. And he had been a very outcome-oriented person. And with being an outcome-oriented person, there's all this anxiety and stress because you define success based off of the outcome rather than considering the process it takes to get the outcome you want. He called. So here's how he explained it to me. On the Alabama goals pyramid in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, it does not say win an SEC championship. It does not say win a national championship. That's not on their goal sheet. What is on that goal sheet is be a champion. Because if you're doing the things you need to do to be a champion and you do those things consistently, then you'll have an opportunity to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's really an inside-out approach. And I'm a nerd about that stuff. I love that stuff.
And another coach you've known for a long time that has sort of built a program up from the ground and turned it into not really a dynasty, but they certainly were during their own era in their own way. That was Virginia Tech and Frank Beamer. And Frank is somebody who I know you've known a long time for your Southwest Virginia days growing up and then being around Blacksburg for many years with the Hokies as well. What is it about Frank Beamer that you saw from him as a coach, but you've also now got to see of him as a person as well for your friendship and your relationship with him that sort of installs the same leadership principles that made him successful as the head coach at Virginia Tech?
Well, he leads with kindness, and he builds impenetrable trust through his actions and his words. He says what he means, and he follows through on what he says. And that's how you build trust. You can't lead somebody out of a room if they don't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
But if they do, you can move mountains. That's a quote from the book as well from Urban Meyer. But Coach Beamer is just the epitome of that. And look, what he built at Virginia Tech took time, and it took meticulous growth, and it took going over to Tidewater and getting the best talent in the state. But he built, it was a dynasty, no question, because I don't care if you live in Spokane, Washington, or Clearwater, Florida, or Bangor, Maine, or Albuquerque, New Mexico. By God, you know where Blacksburg is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know where Blacksburg is because of Frank Beamer and Virginia Tech football. And getting to spend time with him, you know, I'm super tight with Shane, too.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of Shane. But just having the opportunity to be in the presence of Coach Beamer, I've been blessed, man. I've been around a lot of big, big-time people. And I still just stare at Coach Beamer like, I can't believe he's in the same room with me. he's just such a sweet soul. And every single person that ever played for him would say that. He's such a great grower of high school boys into NFL men and great fathers and husbands. And I just admire him beyond words.
Marty Smith of ESPN and the SEC Network joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. His newest book will be out September 26th, that's Sideline CEO, Leadership Principles from Championship Coaches. And Marty, all of this we've talked about is great, and it's been a great vehicle to have you on and talk about all this. But really what we wanted to talk to you about is the 1993 state champion Giles Spartans. Let's just be honest here.
You have a whole week, son.
So let's hit it here. We're in Southwest Virginia. We're a little bit of a different portion of the region, but still Southwest Virginia here, where we are here in Norton. Let's talk about your senior year of high school football, 1993, with Giles, and it led to a state semifinal game not far from where I'm sitting here, up at Hayside, where you all beat Hayside in the state semis on December 4th, 1993, 8-0. What are the best memories of the high school football season as these teams and coaches are in about week five here in the region of Southwest Virginia, getting ready for their season, trying to get the same result you all did now 30 years ago?
I can't believe it's 30 years, first of all. That's just so hard to wrap my hands around it. But I will tell you, I was speaking on Sunday afternoon to a group of high school players based on the lessons in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And this very topic came up, and it made me think that there are so many things ahead for those young men. They're going to be great professionals. They're going to go to college and have an amazing experience. They'll meet young ladies and have, you know, get married and have children and all of those amazing landmark moments in our lives. But there is nothing that's ever going to feel like Friday night again. There's just nothing else that feels like that, not for me. And we had such a special group of people that year, and we had great leadership. Coach Ragsdale, Steve Ragsdale, of course, a Virginia High School League Hall of Famer, mm-hmm. my high school coach. There's a lot about him in Sideline CEO in that book. In fact, much of the final chapter is two things. It is my gratitude. It's basically a love letter to Coach Ragsdale that the lessons that that man taught us. He will tell you to this day, brother, I was an educator first and a coach second. Mm-hmm. Well, in the page of that book, I told him, Coach, I love you, man, but I don't remember a thing from the classroom. I remember everything from the locker room. Football is the ultimate life lesson vehicle and platform. And it was just a super special season, man. I mean, we went undefeated. We had dudes everywhere except for me. I was a liability. But nonetheless, I maintain, and Coach Ragsdale actually told me, I maintain I was the least talented starting player in the history of my high school's football program, but I just saw Coach Ragsdale recently. The greatest athlete I've ever been between the lines with in any sport was Rayfield Milton. And unfortunately, we just lost Rayfield a couple months ago, and I went back home to Giles to speak at Rayfield's funeral. And it was amazing, that brotherhood, man. There were scores of Spartans that showed up to that ceremony. And we were telling old lies and laughing and cutting up. And Coach Ragsdale actually said to me that day, he's like, son, you got to quit saying that. You were not a liability. I'm like, Coach, just stop it. I wanted it worse than anybody else. Nobody played harder than me, but talent became a bit of an issue. But nonetheless, just, I mean, look, man, when you, in our area, you know it, you're sitting in it. Those high school football teams are the identity of those towns. So when the teams win on Friday night, the dads and the townsfolk win when they go to work on Monday morning. And it is an indescribable vehicle for pride in the community. And I'm very proud to have represented it then, and I am staunch in representing that area and that region now, no matter where my branches may extend. I'm forever rooted in Appalachia.
And we got a pretty big game coming up in our area that we'll have in our sister station tomorrow night, Gate City, or on Friday night, I should say, Gate City and Union. Union now the consolidated school of Powell Valley and Appalachia, that I'm sure you are certainly well acquainted with. As that Hayside team we talked about, you all playing the state semifinal game. All they did in the game before playing you all was beat Thomas Jones and the Vikings in the state quarterfinals of that season in 1993. I'm picturing.
I remember.
Oh, yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Marty. Go ahead.
I remember that game. I remember that game was unbelievable. There wasn't a blade of grass on that entire field.
Yeah.
It was it had rained and rained and rained, of course, down in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
All that rain just filtering down. And I remember stepping in. We wore all white.
Yeah.
And it, by the time we got done with warm-ups, we looked like a bunch of Hershey Kisses running around. And we scored on the third play of the game. Rayfield's brother Maurice ran what we call swing 38 straight up the middle and took it to the house. We added the two-point conversion, and there was not another point scored. But I remember this kid, Blaine Hackney. They had a running back named Blaine Hackney.
Yeah.
And Blaine did a wheel route out of the backfield, and I kind of picked him up late. I played left corner. I picked him up late, and we were sprinting down the field together, and the quarterback threw a bomb, and he and I both laid out for this ball. And I swear to you, we slid 30 yards. And it was like the most fun you could possibly have, man. Yeah. And just those are very sweet memories for me.
And I will, on Friday night when I'm doing the Gates of the Union game, I'll run into the former Hayside head coach at that time, James Colley. He'll be doing the broadcast on television as an analyst.
Tell Coach I say hello.
I certainly will. I'll certainly pass that along, Marty, as I'm sure he'll be happy to hear from you and think back on the memories. I'm sure he doesn't have quite the same as a smile on his face about that game as maybe you do because of the result, but I'm sure he remembers it quite well. I'm picturing you as a defensive back. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Marty. I'm thinking you as Ryan Gosling in Remember the Titans as Alan Bosley.
So I was not even remotely that bad a liability.
Okay.
I wasn't that bad, but I would. Let me. I'm trying. I mean, I guess the best way to say it is, I feel like I was probably the least talented guy on that start of the 20. We had some guys that played both ways, right? So there were probably 16 of us,
yeah,
or something that started on that team. I was probably the least talented one.
Okay. Well, I think it worked out well for you. I think everything ended up working out well. If it worked out well that season, worked out well for you since then. That's Marty Smith joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. His new book coming out September 26th, Sideline CEO, Leadership Principles from Championship Coaches, coming out September 26th. And I'll be remiss if I don't tell you, Marty McGee, his Saturday morning show every Saturday on the SEC Network with another former guest on this show, Ryan McGee. Every Saturday morning on the SEC Network. This Saturday, they'll be live from College Station, or what is now known as Bryan, College Station, Texas. Auburn at Texas A&M with SEC Nation to follow at 10 a.m. Marty, we've went a long time, but let me ask you two things before I let you go here. Let's hit the SEC for a moment. Let's touch on Tennessee. We're just about 3 hours away from Knoxville. They're coming off a brutal loss to Florida Saturday night. There are questions now about the Volunteers after all the momentum coming out of last year, all the hype about Joe Milton and the Vols. What do you see right now of Josh Heupel and the boys on Rocky Top?
I think they're still working to figure it out offensively. Look, man, that young man has unbelievable physical gifts. And they have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the football. But Florida just came out and hit him in the mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, Florida, that was a great performance by the Gators. And they confused Tennessee, and ultimately, of course, that unbelievable atmosphere in the swamp makes it so difficult when they kind of have the blood in the water, as it were. Hendon Hooker was so great at making the perfect play every single time that it was so beneficial to that off. He was the perfect guy for what Josh wants to do offensively, and Joe's still learning that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Hendon made the right play at the right time every time. And so he made, like, if a 6-yard run was the right play, he did it. Checking down, he was brilliant. Joe's still learning all that. And so, look, I don't think the sky's falling in Knoxville. I've heard from some balls that it might be in their minds,
yeah.
But, yeah, I still really like what I see there, and I think Josh is a great coach. I think Joe's a great player, but they definitely have some work to do.
Yeah, I'll be
now, look,
go ahead.
They didn't blow the doors off of the previous opponent. They looked good against Virginia in week one, but they definitely have some work to do to evolve the offense a little bit.
And I'll be there seeing them this Saturday when they play what your colleague Ryan McGee used to call the bottom 10 party in the UTSA Saturday afternoon in Neyland Stadium. One final thing, we brought Virginia Tech there, Marty. I know you're mostly based in the SEC these days of college football, but I'm sure you keep an eye on the Hokies. They're off to another tough start. Win over Old Dominion, which was actually kind of a big win for them because they're coming off the loss to them last year to the Monarchs, then back-to-back losses to Big Ten opponents in Purdue, and really a blowout dominant loss by Rutgers this past Saturday. Now they're underdogs at Marshall this week. Brent Pry in year two in Blacksburg, what is your feelings about the Hokies moving forward?
It's a tough time. He has an uphill climb. It all starts with recruiting. Can he go over to Tidewater and win that area? Can he win the state of Virginia? That's the first and most important thing. And I hope that they give him time.
Yeah.
Because, again, like I know it was a different era, but they gave Coach Beamer time. He didn't win right out of the box.
No.
It was not great football at first. But with time came culture, and they started to recruit at a higher level, which is what's, I mean, it needs to happen right now in Blacksburg. I really like Coach Pry. I like what he's doing. I like his, he's a Hokie.
Yeah.
And so I want to see him do well. But there's a lot of room for improvement.
Marty Smith joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Again, his newest book coming out September 26th. That's coming up next week. Sideline CEO, Leadership Principles from Championship Coaches. You can also follow him on X and Instagram at Marty Smith ESPN. Also remember Marty McGee with him and Ryan McGee every Saturday morning on the SEC Network at 9 a.m., followed by SEC Nation at 10 a.m. Both shows will be live from College Station this Saturday for Auburn, taking on the Aggies and Jimbo Fisher of Texas A&M. Marty, thanks so much for joining us. It's been a blast, man. I'm looking forward to reading the newest book. And I tell you what, you keep having issues finding these big name people to write the forewords for. All it was last time was Eric Church. This time around, I'm seeing it's Tim Tebow. Maybe the next time you write your third book, maybe you can find at least a bigger star with some name value to put on the front book cover there, man. But I can't wait to dive into it, and thanks.
I'll do my best. Thank you so much for having me, brother. I love that area. I appreciate you giving me the platform for a few minutes, and do please tell Alan hello.
I certainly will, and as he said there, Alan Gregor joins our guest picker coming up. But that's Marty Smith joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM. We'll be right back right after this.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
close.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, and Zach Helton with you. As always, it's time to pick some games here on WAXM. We do want to say one big thank you to Marty Smith of ESPN and the SEC Network for joining us this week. Remember, his new book is coming out this coming Tuesday, Sideline CEO. So make sure you go out there and find that new book coming out this Tuesday, September 26th. There with Marty, and make sure you catch Marty and McGee on Saturday morning, I should say, live from Texas A&M for Auburn and Texas A&M, 9 a.m. on the SEC Network of SEC Nation to follow from College Station there for the big game between the Tigers and the Aggies. Fellas, though, it's time to get to our Eastman Credit Union guest picker, and let's take a look at our standings. Pat Kenny, our 2022 champion, our defending champ, still right there in first place at 73.7%, 14 out of 19. Heather Williams, our 2021 champion. We now know what Heather's official number is. She picked Daniel Boone to beat Morristown West. They ended up losing that game. She's now sitting at 69.6%, 16 out of 23. She needed a Trailblazer victory there to move into first place. They lost to the Trojans. She's now in second. Our man last week, Kenny Hawkins from WJHL, 60.9%, 14 out of 23. But Kenny will not be in last place this year. Right now, that's sits of our friend Tanner Cook from the Kingsport Times News at 59.3%, 16 out of 27.
It's now a fraud.
Oh, he is a fraud. You're right. You're right. Fraud. Say it for the ones in the back, Helton. Say it for the ones in the back.
He is a fraud.
Him and Morristown West. That's right. According to Tanner Cook, at least. It's now time to get to our guest picker for this week, sponsored by Eastman Credit Union. And it's a man that our previous guest, Marty Smith, led off with. He's a legend, is what I said about him when I teased that he was coming up in the next segment. That's what he said about this guy. That's Alan Gregory from the Bristol Herald Courier, friend of the show. Alan, thanks so much for joining us.
I grew up listening to y'all guys from a young age on the radio, and it is an honor to be on this show with three national stars.
You know what? I'm a little sad though, AG. You and I took a photo together, and I haven't seen it on social media yet. So you must not think that highly of me.
You'll have to contact Corey Jetson there. He does all my technical work.
Oh,
I'm not good.
Jesus.
Look, I'm just glad that Alan came out of the crypt of the paper to join us common folk, because I know it's hard being in that newspaper business, being in the president's chair and everything like that, and running all that. So I'm glad you graced us with your presence tonight, sir. It's just an honor. I'm humble. I'm in sure euphoria and ecstasy right now, because I'm just so humbled by your presence.
That's a picture painting.
Mate, you're like one of the Redskins' top correspondents, man.
Did I hear ecstasy? Did someone say
you
ecstasy?
Did. You did, Zach. You heard that right. Don't doubt yourself. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good over here, fellas. You know, you can leave your ecstasy and whatever else is going on somewhere else, please, by the time you get to the studio. But, fellas, y'all ready to pick some games, please? Can we please pick some games? Y'all ready for this? Food City Game Picks? You want to start off with UVA-wise, Corey? They're coming off a tough loss to Barton Saturday. Had it right there in the fingertips, and then Jordan Terrell took it right away from there on a late touchdown run for the Bulldogs. They now come back home. SAC conference opener for the home team at home at Carl Smith Stadium. Corey against Limestone, coming off the big blowout of Carson Newman. 2 o'clock kick. That's right here on 93.5 WXM. Pre-game at 1:30. Sanchez, do the Cavs get win number one in the conference play, or do the Saints march in wise?
Well, you know, the last time the Saints came up to old good old UVA and Wise, they brought their bloody band with them. And, you know, bands are key in winning ball games and everything. And in their previous life, I think a young man ran for 300-plus yards against us when they opened up their home schedule last year. So with that being said, I think the Cavs are going to come out there. They're going to bring a left hook. They're going to bring a right hook. They might even bring a foot or two up in there. But I think at the end of the day, the Saints will create a Hail Mary, and unfortunately blessings will fall upon them, and they'll march off back home to Gaffney with the W.
You saw that win in Gaffney a year ago, just like I did as well. Alan, who do you like at Carl Smith Stadium on Saturday?
It seems like the SAC is a lot more balanced this year, so it's kind of hard to get a read. But Limestone was a real success story last year, and they got that senior receiver back, Drew Dixon. So I'm going to go with Stone there.
Zach, everybody's on the Saints so far. How about you?
Yeah, it's a little worrisome when everyone's on the same page. You know what? I was a little surprised about the Barton game when I saw the score. When UVA-Wise can go on the road and hold a rushing attack like that in check for most of the afternoon, I feel like things are trending in the right direction. I'm going to go Cavs go. They used to sign my paycheck. They don't anymore, but I'm going to go with the Cavs in a slight upset at home.
There's a lot of us in the past tense in that regard. I'm going to take Limestone at home, though. It's Wingate at Emory Henry, 1 p.m. Alan, you're going to be there for the paper. Who do you like between the Bulldogs and the Wasps?
Emory had this nightmare last week, losing like the longest game in the history of Division II. Just a heartbreaking loss. And I think they're going to come back strong. Just like Corey likes it. I mean, he's going to be at the game with me as a guest correspondent, so he's going to enjoy the day.
Corey, Kurt Newsom letting you get a little, maybe a couple play calls in?
I tell them boys to run it back into their own end zone and get a safety every time. You know me. I can't stand the loss, so I'm going Bulldogs all the way, buddy.
Zach, we're split so far. What side are you on?
I think Wingate comes in with an EpiPen and gets the win. Go Bulldogs.
That would be Wingate for everybody except for Allen. I'm going to keep it that way. Allen going to be on by himself there for Emory Henry. I'm going Wingate as well on the road. Friday night, 7:30 ESPN. Virginia still looking for win number one. They welcome in the Wolfpack from Raleigh, North Carolina State. Zach, NC State or Virginia in Charlottesville?
Virginia's terrible, and I love it, even though Tech's not that much better. I'm going to go NC State to win this one on Friday night.
Corey?
In the words of Charles Barkley, terrible, Kenny, terrible. But I don't think the Virginians are going to still be looking for a W after they play NC State. Give me the Wolfpack.
That will be everybody on North Carolina State so far. Alan, which side are you on?
And as Jake knows, this is a Brennan Armstrong goal at quarterback.
Yep.
And he will make the difference tonight as State wins.
Had a wonderful run in Virginia with the previous tenured head coach there prior to Tony Elliott under Bronco Mendenhall, and his offensive coordinator was Robert and I. Who's his offensive coordinator in Raleigh? Robert and I. That's the difference there for NC State. I think it may be a little bit closer. Only 9 points. That's the only line there. A little bit small. I may take the candy there for Virginia to say they cover, keep it close, and keep it interesting. But give me NC State on the road with the win. This is a game that Dave Dorn and the Wolfpack usually sleepwalk into, but I think NC State still pulls it out. Virginia Tech travels to Marshall noon on ESPN2. Zach, I'm coming back to you because I'm about to say something I never thought I'd say. Not only is Virginia Tech going to Marshall to play this game, but Marshall is favored, my friend. Last line I saw, Thundering Herd by 5 points over the Hokies. Who wins in Huntington?
Yeah, not surprised at all, to be honest with you. I enjoy Brent Pry. I really do, and I really hope he gets things right because I really do think he's the right man in Blacksburg right now. I think there's a lot of staff that he needs to retool. There's some underachieving staff members that probably need to go, but all that behind, I really think Marshall. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be a competitive ball game, but I do think Marshall will get the win.
Corey, he sounds like a broken man right now. He's already going against his Hokies against Marshall. Where are you at
on
this one?
I'm hurt, Linda.
I remember when they had to hire Marshall to keep that lame bowl streak alive.
Stop it.
And they
here we go.
Up on Marshall. Remember, I remember that.
Yes.
And, you know, I have a good friend in the Mountain East who's an official, Jeff O'Malley. He works up there at Marshall. So you know what? I'm going to take the Thundering Herd to take down the engineers of Virginia Tech.
Everybody's on Marshall so far. Alan, where you at here? Everybody's doubting the Hokies.
Yes. Tech has serious issues on the offensive line and at quarterback. And I think that's going to lead to a Marshall win.
Ooh, I don't love the way this sheet looks right now, fellas. Everybody's on Marshall. Everybody thinks the Thundering Herd's going to beat the ACC team. I already had Marshall written down. I put it down in Sharpie, so I've got to stick with it. But, boy, that feels like maybe a Virginia Tech win Saturday afternoon. Noon on ESPN2. Make sure you watch. Kentucky travels to Vanderbilt. This is noon on the SEC Network. Kentucky's undefeated, sort of sliding under the radar so far this year with the former NC State quarterback Devin Leary. Vanderbilt's 2-2. Who wins in the Music City? Zach.
I'm going to go Kentucky in this one. Vanderbilt, they can't even get their stadium finished, so I like Kentucky in this one.
Allen.
There will be more fans at the Union game this week than at Vanderbilt.
I think that's an understatement there. I think that there will certainly be more fans in Big Stone Gap than there will be in Nashville. There may be less construction going on, though, in Big Stone at that game there between the Blue Devils and the Bears. Corey Sanchez, Kentucky or Vanderbilt?
Yeah, is that a serious question? Yeah, let's go with the Wildcats.
That would be Kentucky on the road for Corey, Zach, and Alan. I'm going to go Kentucky to stay undefeated as well. As once again, Mark Stoops picking up on the bad part of the schedule. But remember something, folks. Vanderbilt won this game a year ago. Just remember that in Lexington. Just saying.
I'm just thankful that Vanderbilt doesn't make their football team sit at the end zone like they do in basketball.
I kind of like that though.
Oh, I don't know.
The old school gym. It's different. Give me different. I like it. They're the only ones who do
it
there.
Different too, but I mean, come on.
The only thing I don't like about it is that the fact that I can't – it feels like every time Tennessee goes down there and plays that it feels like it's going to be a grind-out battle even when Vanderbilt's not winning double-digit amount of games. But, hey, that's neither here nor there. Who knows? Noon on ABC, Florida State's number 4 in the country, Alan. They're undefeated. They're going to go take on the big, bad Clemson that's been dominating the ACC the last decade, who sits at 2-1 and is unranked. Noon on ABC, who wins in that Death Valley, Mr. Gregory?
You got a must-win here for Dabo. He's taken a lot of heat this year for his old-fashioned ways. It's going to come back to bite him again. Florida State with the win.
Florida State with the win. Corey, who wins in Clemson? Who's going to party at the Esso Club?
Well, if you look at it in smarter areas, the public is hammering Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
2.5?
They are.
Something that makes you go, there. I like the guys down there in Death Valley. Let's go. Yeah.
Clemson.
Yes,
for
sir. Yeah.
A C's on the top of his column on my sheet. I'm going to write down the C below his name here. Zach, who do you like here in Clemson between the Noles and the Tigers?
Well, I tell you, I've had some great times at the Esso Club in Clemson, South Carolina. That place is a hidden gem. If you've never been, you've got to go.
Yes.
With that being said, I hate to say it, but I'm going to go Noles. Noles on the road to get this one.
I've been there with Mr. Sanchez on a couple of occasions. It's a good time. Florida State on the road for Alan and Zach. I'm going to go with Corey. I already had Clemson written down.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with the Tigers, too. Everybody doubting Dabo. Okay. All righty. Well, all right, old Sweeney. We'll see what's going on under that rest of y'all bus. I told you beginning of the year, Florida State's going to win the ACC. And they're going to do so by beating Clemson in a rematch in the ACC title game. But Clemson gets them in the regular season. I'm sticking with that so far. Give me the Tigers at home. UCLA and Utah, the big, bad Pac-12. Everybody's ranked right now in that league. UCLA's ranked 22. Utah's number 11. 3:30 on Fox. Zach, who wins in Salt Lake City?
Man, I'm a sneaky Utah fan. I like Utah. I think they're going to get this one at home. I think they're going to head into the top 10 next week.
Ooh, Utah for Mr. Helton at home. Alan, who do you like between the Bruins and the Utes?
I'm going to go to Utah. You got a real strong, physically team, and well-coached. So I'll ride with Utah.
They're 3-0, and yet we still haven't seen their starting quarterback yet, Corey. It didn't bother them against Florida. It was a little bit more of an issue against Baylor. They still won. Now we're still wondering if Cam Rising will be there against UCLA or not. Does it matter this Saturday?
Yeah. Doesn't matter. I'm going Utah as well.
Everybody's on Utah. Oh, I don't like this. Oh, I don't like this. I wrote down Utah, though. So you know me, I got to stick with the sheep. But Utah favored by 4.5 at home. Maybe still going with their backup QB.
That 5.5 now.
Was their third string QB, but is now their backup starting QB, if you can catch the model there and the pattern. I'm going to go Utah at home. Oh, boy. Everybody's eyes will be on this one at 3:30 on ABC up at Autzen Stadium in Eugene. Tessa Torres on the call with the Bachelor, Jesse Palmer. You love you some Jesse Palmer, Zach Helton. I'm going to go to you with this one. Number 19, Colorado's 3-0. Number 10, Oregon's 3-0. 3:30 on ABC. Who wins in Eugene?
You know, I saw Jesse Palmer in Knoxville a couple years ago.
That's ironic.
We discussed this game. It was ironic. I was a little shocked myself. We kind of looked into the future, discussed this game. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. We, we locked eyes, and it was, it was a little weird, but, I took it for what it was. I like Colorado, man. Ooh. I love what Prime is doing. I want this, this thing to keep rolling, and I'm going to go Colorado with an upset.
Were you the one who gave him the golden bachelor idea of this now senior citizen bachelor show that's getting started this fall that he's hosting? Was that you, Zach?
Well, you know, I planted the seed. I was hopeful that it would get out, years from now, and I would still be a single man. But luckily, I've been hitched down, and I think they went with it a little earlier than I anticipated. But old men need love too. So.
Yeah, old men with the hearing aids even on the show too. That's an interesting. It's an interesting idea there.
Huh?
Yeah. Thank you. Good job. Thank you so much, Alan. Colorado, Oregon.
Oh, Corey and I are loving the Deion show. Corey's a big Deion fan from way back. But without Travis Hunter, they're going to fall.
Oregon for Alan, Colorado for Zach, Corey. Buffaloes or Ducks?
You know, I like what Prime's doing out there.
Sure, why not?
I like what he did in Atlanta. I like what he did in San Francisco. He's okay in Washington.
How about Dallas?
You know what? Those years.
Tallahassee?
Don't remember those years.
Tallahassee?
And wherever that place was, the hole with the stadium and the roof.
How about Baltimore?
Baltimore, where we were 44. That was good. But
37, but yeah.
Yeah, 37. That's right. He did wear 37. But with that being said, I think he'll kind of like his toes, he'll fall short this week. Give me the Ducks in this one.
That's a low blow.
Wow.
Because his toes are low.
I think Oregon wins this one big.
Yeah.
Ooh. I think they win this one big. Colorado's been a wonderful story, and this doesn't change that fact. You don't go from being 1-11 to winning this game. You can bring in all the 87,000 players and bring them in on the arc and everything else you want to do. You don't win this game, not only because of that, but also without your best players, Alan brought up, and Travis Hunter is not playing. Oregon's a more established program. They've been there. They've done that. This is not a game where they're going to win. Colorado's still going to have a fine year. But it's not. This is where the road of undefeated comes to an end. This isn't Jay Norvell and the sunglasses and the hat in Colorado State that you almost need a double overtime to beat them last week. Oregon wins this one. They do so without much trouble at all. Give me the Ducks at home. Welcome to Autzen Stadium, one of the best environments in all of college football. 3:30 on CBS, number 15 Ole Miss and number 13 Alabama. Allen, everybody's doubting the Tide. Now, Saban's old buddy Lane Kiffin's coming to town. He's saying that maybe they changed defensive coordinators, and Saban doesn't want to even say it. Who wins this one in Tuscaloosa Saturday afternoon, Alan Gregory?
Alabama is still playing the quarterback shuffle, but I think you're going to go with the athlete, Neil Rowe, and he's going to show what kind of talent he's got. I go with Bama.
Bama for Alan. Corey, they benched Jalen Milroe last week after the loss to Texas. Didn't play a snap against South Florida. They only beat the Bulls 17-3, and now they're coming back out and saying Jalen Milroe is our starter. Who wins in Tuscaloosa during the Rebels and the Tide?
Here you go. 74% of the public straight on Ole Miss.
Ole Miss.
Huh.
Rebellious.
Yeah, they're a little rebellious there. And you would think that, you know, they go down the
Tide still favored by a touchdown?
Yeah, still favored by a touchdown. You know, they went down there to South Florida. And they were struggling a little bit.
Not a good football team.
Man, they're very not. But you know what? At the end of the day, sometimes you play with your food, you get caught. This time around, hell have no fury like a Saban scorn. Give me Alabama.
Alabama for everybody so far, Zach. I think that's what was said there. Who do you like this time in Tuscaloosa? You like you some Lane Kiffin.
I do love some Lane Kiffin. And I think the interesting thing that's going on now, Saban, you know, recently said, hey, I'm about to hang this up. I think Lane Kiffin is, you know, pretty much trying to get a job in Alabama. I think he is trying to plead his case here, and I think if he can go in and beat Bama, I think those Roll Tide fans will be like, let's bring Lane back, let's make him a head coach. So I could see Lane Kiffin making this, you know, personal and winning this one. I like Ole Miss on the road.
Wow, we got an Ole Miss on the road pick there. Hugh Freeze did that. He won in Tuscaloosa. Maybe they can go get Hugh Freeze from Auburn. I thought that was supposed to be Dabo's job whenever this time comes. But I tell you what, Most Alabama people will tell you they want Sarkisian back. Now, would Sarkisian leave Texas to go to Alabama? I don't know. I also don't think Saban's leaving anytime soon. And the reason why I don't think so is because I don't think they're dead yet. I think they win this game. Give me Alabama over Ole Miss at home on CBS. 7 o'clock on Fox. Let's head back out west. Let's head out to the Tupac. Let's pack to it. 14 Oregon State, 21 Washington State. The only two teams left trying to find their way moving forward out of conference realignment up on the Palouse and Pullman. They're both undefeated. They both got really good young coaches, Corey. Who wins on the Palouse?
God, the two redheaded stepchildren of the Pac-12, right?
Yes, and sir.
They're both 3-0.
Yes, sir.
And, let's see here.
Washington State's about a field goal underdog.
Yeah, they are. They are. At home.
At home. On the Palouse.
Yeah. And Holman. You know what? A lot of people, and it doesn't look like they're too much, but I will go with Oregon State here to win this game.
The Beavers for Corey. Allen, Beavers or Cougars?
You got two teams that are looking for respect, and they got a big chip on their shoulder. But as always, I'll go with Corey, Oregon State.
This is like the Zach Helton Bowl now that I think about it.
Beavers, Cougars, and we had a respect line there for Rodney Dangerfield, Zach. Yeah. I'm just going to give it to you. You take it away.
Yeah, you got to get the respect. Man, Washington State playing for their former coach. I like the Cougs at home. I tell you what, when you get the Cougars at home, I'm for it.
I always thought you liked the road games of Cougars, but you never know. I'll go Washington State at home, though, with
now,
you.
I like the Cougars at home because you can just leave whenever.
Oh, good call. Good call.
They're going to watch The Bachelor, The Silver Bachelor.
The Golden Bachelor.
The Golden Bachelor.
Please, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Jesse Palmer with the beard and the old guy with the hearing aid. Please don't forget, watch on ABC.
Huh?
Washington State at home. I'm going to go for them as well. They're a three-point dog. I like their head coach, Jake Dickert. I liked what I saw out of Wisconsin, win 2 weeks ago. I really like both of these teams. And Northwestern, Michigan State, I'm looking at you. You're looking for coaches. Look to those two guys. They're looking to take a step forward with their program. They're going to be left behind. See if they'll bite on it. See if they'll go after your job. Give them a call. It'll help you out a lot in the future. Just take my advice there. Jonathan Smith and Jake Dickert, go ahead and dial up their agents. I'll go Washington State at home, though. They're in Pullman. 7:30 on CBS. They're going to play that music for a Big Ten game. Go ahead and let me step in the traffic. Number 24, Iowa, and number 7, Penn State. It's undefeated. It's battling in a wideout in Happy Valley, Zach Helton. Who wins between the Hawkeyes and the Nittany Lions?
Well, you know, in CBS's defense, when you've got Penn State at home on a Saturday night, that's about as close to an SEC environment as you're going to get. Iowa has found offense. Congratulations. Going on the road, I don't think it's going to help Penn State. Penn State is almost a lock at home on Saturday night. I'm going to take Penn State in this one.
And their offensive coordinator, Iowa's Brian Ferentz, the son of Kirk Ferentz, is asking people to please get out of his derriere, if you maybe caught that press conference over this week. If you don't know, he has a little thing in his contract. If they don't average 25 points per game, he gets axed. They scored 41 or something like that this week, boosted up their average. He'd like people to get off his back a little bit, Corey. Are you going to get off their back and pick them?
Isn't this the white game?
Yeah, it's a wide out.
One of the most intimidating atmospheres in college football when that game is in effect. I will go with the Penn State Nittany Lions in this one.
The Nittany Lions for everybody so far. How about you, Allen Gregory?
So Iowa has the most boring offense in the world due to that offensive coordinator. Penn State is going to roll.
Penn State going to roll. I like Penn State at home as well. I've got them in my eliminator. Why would I not pick Penn State? Come on now. Let's go Penn State at home. Ohio State travels to South Bend, 7:30 on NBC. Corey Sanchez, the Fighting Irish have looked as impressive as anybody, maybe behind only maybe Colorado, maybe Florida State, maybe Texas. That'd be about it. That's the only one who looks more impressive than Notre Dame has so far this year as they sit at 4-0. Sam Hartman, the new QB, the transfer from Wake Forest, looking really good. Doesn't matter against the Buckeyes, whose offense finally got going in the second half against Western Kentucky this past week.
Against who?
Western Kentucky.
Who, yeah.
Stand up Bowling Green.
Where? Yeah, you're foaming at the mouth just talking about this game. And Sam Hartman, I know you wrote it down in ink. You and I talked about him being our Heisman preseason candidate. I'm still going to go with it. Give me the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
I'm not afraid to come out and say it. I have a man crush on Sam Hartman. Thank you. Zach Helton, who do you like in this game?
You know, the first way to get over a problem is to admit it.
Thank you.
I like this game because it puts two insufferable fan bases in one stadium at one time. I don't know any other fan base, maybe the Yankees in Major League Baseball, that's worse, or maybe Jimmy Johnson fans in NASCAR.
Duke basketball?
Alan Gray. Yeah, yeah. Man, I don't know. I like Notre Dame.
They have
Dame
a career in PA.
Yeah, well, there you go. I like Notre Dame at home in this one. I think they're going to squeak it out. I think this one's going to be a really good game, but I think Notre Dame wins it at the end.
I don't like all these NDs. I'm writing down Adam. I mean, Adam, he just walked by the window. Alan, who you like in this one?
I'm going to talk some sense into him. Hartman has elevated Notre Dame, but it comes down to team speed, and Ohio State rolls.
That's what's held Notre Dame back in years past. They are, what, 4-48 in, like, their last however many top 10 games? It's been a long time since they won one of these games. It's helpful, though, that it's in South Bend. It's helpful that they have a quarterback. It's helpful that Ohio State maybe looks a little bit more pedestrian than they have in years past. I wouldn't fit in the preseason. I can't change now. Let's go Notre Dame. Play the fight song. And, yes, there is a commonality there between Notre Dame fans and Duke fans. We all know the one. Yeah, I actually saw him. I saw him yesterday.
I thought you were going to go the other way on that. A little fear behind that pick.
No.
Yeah.
No. And I'll be seeing that person this weekend, riding down the Neyland Stadium. So, Northeast Tennessee, Week 6. Let's hit some high school games. Let's pick up the pace here. Alan Gregory, let's head to Greene County, shall we? South Greene, West Greene. Rebels are 4-0. The Buffaloes are 2-3. Who wins this battle in Greene County, Mr. Gregory?
South Greene.
South Greene for Alan. Zach?
Sorry, I had to think about it a little bit. I'm going to go South Greene as well.
South Greene for everybody so far. Corey, can they stay undefeated?
Yes, they can.
That would be South Greene for everybody, including myself. Let's head to Carter County. Hampton 3-2. Cloudmans 2-2. That means it's the Bulldogs and the Highlanders up on Rome Mountain. Zach Helton, who wins this battle?
I tell you what, I like Cloudland at home in this one.
Cloudland to move to over 500, dropping Hampton to 500. Corey, who do you like?
Give me Hampton in this one.
Oh, Hampton at home, on the road, I should say, for Corey. We're split so far. Alan, who are you leaning?
The Hampton boys spend a lot of time in the weight room. And that makes a difference again. Hampton wins.
I like Hampton on the road there with Michael Lunsford and the guys as well. They've won the last 6, 19 out of the last 21 in this series. Science Hill travels to William Blount. William Blount looking for some, they got some anger. They lost their first game of the week last year. I mean, first game of the year last week against Westridge, Corey. Science Hill, though, sits there at 2-3. Who wins from the Hilltoppers and O'Willie?
I hit that Blount last week. Didn't do anything for me. I'm going to go right back to it. Let's go William Blount.
Let's see if it has maybe just a little bit of a defect last week and try again. Okay. Alan, who do you like?
Science Hill's a hard team to figure. They got all sorts of athletes, but fall short a lot. But I'm going to go Science Hill winning this game.
Science Hill on the road for Alan. William Blount at home for Corey. Zach, which way are you going?
Yeah, Corey and I went, I think, with Willie Blount last week. I think the second rotation through will get us. I like Willie Blount at home.
I'm going to go with Alan Gregory. I'm going to go with Science still on the road. I doubted William Blount last week. Worked out well for me. I'm going to do it again, see how it goes. Our friends we're going to see tomorrow night in a Big Stone Gap quarter are going to be rooting hard for Science Hill the rest of the season. Think about the amount of points you get if they keep winning. And they can get maybe 5-6 wins on that schedule for Stacy Carter's squad. That'd be helpful to the Bears when it comes to the Region 2D points this year. I like Science Hill on the road. Elizabethan's 4-0. They travel to take on Sullivan East, who are 4-1, Alan. Sullivan East has thrown the ball all over the field for J.C. Simmons and Drake Fisher and the Patriots, but isn't enough against the Cyclones.
This will be fun to watch. Definitely, the East has got an advanced passing game, but Elizabethan's just got too much depth.
Corey, you going to Sean Witten or the former Wasp, J.C. Simmons.
you already struck down J.C. Simmons by saying where he went to school at. Let's go with Uncle Sean and Betsy.
The former Emory Henry quarterback, J.C. Simmons. Hey, Zach, Sean Witten went to a pretty good school, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he went to Elizabethan.
Well, he went to Virginia Tech as well, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He made a drive by Virginia Tech, but yes. Or a stop in the parking lot.
He wasn't the only one.
Yeah, he was not. He was parked in the parking lot. I'm going to go to Elizabethan on the road to get this one. I think their depth gets them on the road.
They've won the last 17 in this series. How about 20 of the last 21? They lead the all-time series 48-5. Keep adding the numbers up for Elizabeth and give me the Cyclones on the road. David Crockett travels to Westridge. Zach Helton, Pioneers or Wolves?
Give me Ridgeview South in this one.
Westridge for Zach. Corey?
Yeah, I've been doubting Westridge, but I'm going to go with them this time. Give me the Airport Boys.
Ooh, you're going against Hayden Shanley. That hurts. That hurts.
Yeah, it does.
Look down at your shirt. Alan, who do you like in this one?
Corey's got it on target as well. Let's go with Westridge.
I'm going to go with Westridge at home as well. They've actually split the first two games in this series. I think Westridge takes this one fairly easily. Let's hit some cross-state battles before we move into Southwest Virginia solely to wrap it up here, guys. Twin Springs, who's undefeated, one of the last three Southwest Virginia teams in our area who sit undefeated, them, Honaker, and Ridgeview. They travel that undefeated record on the road to Cumberland Gap, Corey, who sit at 1-4. They're the team who lost to Thomas Walker in week one. Can Twin Springs move to 4-0?
Yes.
Going to go with the Titans for Corey. Alan.
Watch for Mr. Colton Kilgore there for Twin Springs. The dude is a playmaker, and he's going to lead them to another win. Colton Kilgore is the name.
Colton Kilgore. Zach, that'd be our Terry Kilgore Leadership Award winner from 2 weeks ago, as we gave him the award following their win over, who was that in week two for them? Unica. Testing my memory there in the head there. Zach, who do you like in this matchup?
Yeah, I'm with you, Alan. Anyone named Kilgore in Scott County, you got to hitch their wagon and go. I'm going to go Twin Springs on the road for this one.
History does certainly tell us that. I like Twin Springs on the road as well. One final one. Abingdon travels to Tennessee High. Falcons have won their last two, Alan, but can they make it 3-0 against the Vikings at the Stone Castle?
Abingdon has found a running game the past couple weeks. And Lucas Honaker can always make plays at quarterback, but Tennessee High has too much depth.
Tennessee High for Allen. Zach?
I'm with Allen on this one. It's kind of similar to Science Hill Union a few weeks ago. I think this one will be close, but I think the Vikings with the bigger school, the depth, will get the win in the long run.
Corey, Abingdon's near and dear to your heart.
I don't know about near and dear. They just pay the bills.
That matters to my heart.
Yeah, well, you know.
It did at one time, I guess.
Yeah, there you go. See, why you
go ahead.
I got Abingdon written down. I don't feel good about it, but I'm going Abingdon. Put it down in ink.
Don't you be calling audible.
I'm not. No audibles here.
I'm giving you one. That's Abingdon for Corey. That's Tennessee High for me. Give me the Vikings at home. I'm with Zach and Allen. Southwest Virginia. It's week five, guys, in Southwest Virginia. Oh, boy, Zach. It's week five, and Richlands is still looking for win number one. They're 0-4. They travel to Lebanon, who got win number one last week over Castlewood. Who gets their first Southwest District win?
Yeah, I tell you what, this is it's a weird time in Richlands. It really is. In my lifetime, I don't remember us being 0-4. Here's the great thing about this rivalry. Richlands has not lost to Lebanon since 1993. That's a long time ago, kids. 30 years ago, to be exact. But I went and watched Lebanon and Castlewood. They've got a great passing attack. Now, granted, Castlewood's a little down, so it was kind of hard to judge, but I think if Lebanon can throw the ball, they're going to win this one. If Richlands can stop the pass and get their running game going, I think they win this one. I will look for Richlands to play keep away, but I think Lebanon is going to squeak this one out at home.
Ooh.
Wow. I even wrote down the R for him, Corey. I thought he was going to go for Lebanon.
It hurt.
Wow, he's going to go for Lebanon. Who do you like?
I mean, it hurt. I hope I'm wrong.
Oh, I know you do. I know you do.
Yeah, especially after that game they had against Tazewell where you thought they had it in the bag.
They thought they did for 48 hours.
Yeah. They were like, whoo, Lord. They were like, stop the count. Stop the steal here. But at the end of the day, I do think Richlands gets their first win of the season.
We're split so far, Alan. Which way are you going, Tornado or Pioneers?
Zach Helton is one of my all-time heroes.
Wow.
He's the fanciest dresser in far southwest Virginia, and he's Richlands legend. But Lebanon wins behind quarterback Mike Reese.
Wow. Mike Reese, we saw him play some basketball last year. Corey, pretty good basketball player.
Yeah,
I tell you what, I saw Mike Reese last week, Alan, and to kind of piggyback off of that, the kid throws a beautiful ball. Man, he slings it.
Definitely. He can throw 60 yards in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what they told me last year when they came up with the Holiday Classic at the Prize Show. They said, this guy can play quarterback. I said, well, can he play basketball? Maybe we should worry about that tonight. And he could. They went on to win the title that night over Virginia High. I'm going to go with Richlands on the road, though. They've won 15 straight. At some point, they're going to get a win. At some point, they're going to get a win, right? How about this week? Let's go with Tartar and the boys. Josh Compton, what's up? Let's go Richlands on the road. Grundy travels to Honaker. This is an old Black Diamond District battle. Mr. Sanchez, Grundy won this game twice a year ago. Grundy's coming off one of the bigger upsets in the region so far this season, last week over Patrick Henry. Can they make it back-to-back upsets and beat the undefeated Tigers?
I mean, sure they can, but they won't. Give me the Tigers.
That's Honaker for Corey. Alan.
I go with Honaker. They got the most balanced offense I've seen in Southwest Virginia this year.
Zach, everybody's going Tiger so far. They're doubting the Golden Wave.
Yeah, I'm going Honaker as well. I was really shocked about Grundy last week, but I think Honaker. I think with that win, that puts Honaker on notice to say, "Hey, Grundy's not as bad as they look on paper," and I think they clamp down and keep the undefeated record.
Honaker, you maybe a little bit of trouble last week with Holston, a little bit closer than maybe some people thought. Holston is going to be a playoff team. I'm going to go Honaker at home, though. The Grundy-Patrick Henry game, remember, folks, kicking is important. Just remember that little note there. Hurley travels to Holston. Holston, we just brought up, losing to Honaker last week. Hurley's sitting there at 2-2. They beat back-to-back teams from West Virginia. Allen, who wins between the Rebels and the Cavaliers?
I'm going to go with Holston and Coach Chris Akers.
Chris Akers is the pick there for Holston. For Allen, how about you, Zach? Is this going to be a John Paul Justice or a Chris Akers victory?
Well, I tell you what, if this game was at the Cliff, I think Hurley would have a chance. But Holston, their running attack Friday night kept them in it. Me and a buddy got to Honaker to watch the second half of that one after we realized that the Lebanon-Castlewood game was pretty much in the books. And Holston ran the ball really well on Honaker, and I look for them to make this a very short game, run the ball well on Hurley, and get a big win at home.
You also saw a few other people out there on the field. I know I saw your picture sent to me. Very kind. Thank you.
It's fantastic flag throwers. It's
fantastic, and I'll be on Rhodes Ridge this week. Corey, Hurley or Holston?
Why would you do that to yourself? Holston.
Holston for Corey. We could have been there with him, but... Yeah. Holston is going to be my pick as well. We're all in the Cavaliers. We're back-to-back unanimous on the last two games. Let's see if we can switch it up here, fellas. Patrick Henry's coming off a brutal loss to Grundy. John Battle had a week off. Zach Helton, who wins in Glade Spring between the Trojans and the Rebels?
I think Patrick Henry rights the ship. I don't think they take John Battle for lightly as they may have taken Grundy for lightly, and I think they get to win.
Corey Sanchez.
Yeah, Patrick Henry.
Patrick Henry for Corey and Zach Allen.
Patrick Henry's defensive lineman, Tyler Barrett, is a future D1 player. Gets off the line. He just explodes off the line. And he will make the difference tonight as PH wins.
I saw Patrick Henry a couple weeks ago cross the street of Lawson Fitchco. I've not quite recovered from it. That's why I was so shocked with the score last week. I'm going to go Patrick Henry to bounce back there for Seth Padgett's squad. I think kicking will be improved this week. I'll just say that. Patrick Henry at home. Virginia High travels to Graham. Graham sits at 3-1. They're finally coming off a loss, though, in the regular season. Finally, 33 games, it's over with. It's over with. Corey Sanchez. Do they start a new streak this time, though, against the Bearcats?
I would not want to be the Bearcats in this game. Trust me on that one. Graham's going to restart.
Graham was trying to get a new streak started, Alan. Virginia High, though, sits at 1-3. Kept it interesting against Ridgeview, though, last week. How does this one go for Mitchell Stadium?
Virginia High has a good, experienced and a talented line corps, you know, with size. But I'm sure Tony Palmer laid down the hammer this week in practice at Graham, and they're going to respond.
Graham for everybody so far, Zach. How about you?
Yeah, it's homecoming at Graham this week. I had to stay late at Bluefield yesterday, and I was driving through and drove past Graham High School. They had the lights on the practice field. They were out there working late. I think Tony and the G-Men get it right this week. I think it'll be a little bit closer than you might expect being at homecoming, but I think Graham gets the win and starts the new streak.
Remember I told you last week when I talked to Tony Palmer prior to the Union game, he said he wasn't pleased with the way his team played the first 3 weeks and they had won? Think about how he felt about his team after they lost. I think it's been a tough week for the G-Men. I need to take out some frustration on the Bearcats. Give me Graham at home. Lehigh travels to Ridgeview. This is the game on 93.5 WAXM Friday night. Aaron Collier will slide over to 93.5 and have the broadcast of this one from Rose Ridge when the Generals and the Wolfpack on this big game in the Mountain District. Let's see here, Alan. Who do you like between the Generals and Ridgeview?
Okay, Corey gave me the stat. He faxed it to me. Ridgeview is outscoring teams 40-14, and Ryan O'Quinn is paced for 699 yards. This was off Corey's fax that he sent me.
Thank you.
So I'm thinking Ridgeview to win.
Ridgeview for Alan. Zach, who you like here between Lee and Ridgeview?
I'm still trying to get over that Corey and Alan fax each other back and forth.
I don't want to know anything else that gets faxed back and forth.
I feel like there's a better way. I'm going to go Ridgeview at home in this one.
I know Corey is the tech guy. Maybe you can show me how to fax it after we get done with the show here. We have one just next door. You were for Ridgeview for everybody else?
Who in the world still uses a fax machine? That's what
like
I'm saying.
You. Sounds like
no,
you.
No, sir. You. No, yep. Sir. No, sir. The glove does not fit. I'm a quitting. And I think the Pack are going to maul the Generals.
Ridgeview's won the last six in this series. If the Lehigh won the first two, let's make it seven straight for the Wolfpack here on WAXM. Pre-game 6:45, kickoff at 7. That's important to note because this next game that we have over on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, and online at WLSDradio.com. With Burton on their bye week, we're heading home for WLSD. Right down below the tower there for the AM 1220. Bullet Park and Big Stone Gap. Kickoff is at 7:30, but we'll go on the air at 7 o'clock with a pregame show. We'll have conversations with Jeremy Housewright and Travis Turner on the show tomorrow night to lead into that game. As also the 1998 Powell Valley State Championship team will be on it. We'll see who will be live from Bullet Park for that one. Big battle between 2-3-1 teams in the Mountain District. Zach Helton. Everybody thought this may be the district championship. Then Gate City lost to Abingdon 2 weeks ago. Now Union beat Graham, and now everybody's talking about Union being the favorite not only in the Mountain, not only in Region 2D, but heck, could they be in all of Class 2 after last week? We'll find out. Who do you like in Big Stone Gap Friday night, Mr. Helton?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I think you've got Union very rush-heavy attack. Gate City has started to spread things out a little bit more than you would think a Gate City squad has. I think this one's going to be a humdinger, for lack of a better term. And I think all the folks who have paid their cable bill will get a nice little show as well. Not me. I haven't paid it because I'm still mad at Spectrum, but that's a whole other story. I'm going to go Union a close one at home. I think this one's going to come down to maybe the last drive or two. And quite possibly, as always the pundits say, whoever has the ball last may win this one.
That usually helps. I'm going to use humdinger on the broadcast tomorrow night. Corey, who wins, though, in Big Stone Gap?
Well, you know.
This is your new hometown.
Yes, this is
my hometown.
And your alma mater. That's your Bear. Against
matter.
Your,
no,
against
don't
your
you
Bears.
Against your Bears. Don't you dare say that.
Once
don't
a bear,
you dare say that.
Once a Bear, always a Bear, right?
Don't you dare.
To my people of my lovely new hometown.
I'm an impartial spectator.
I'm an impartial spectator as well. I might get ostracized for this pick, but yes, put the U down, and the Bears will beat Gate City because they have a lot. You can't tell me these boys aren't motivated for this game after losing to Gate City not once, but twice, and we were there twice. They gave up a lead like they were the Denver Broncos in week two of the 2023 NFL season. So, I mean, hey, you got to do what you got to do. And I think the Bears are going
to
do it.
Maybe they throw a Hail Mary, but actually they don't get the two-point conversion to, you know, make it actually
matter. Wasn't pass interference either.
Well, you never know. Did you see the picture, the video of Sparrow Dittus? I'll show it to you later, broadcasting that. Alan, who do you like in Big Stone?
The fans are going to be showing up at 12 o'clock at Bullet Park for this one.
Just leave me a parking spot. That's fine.
And it will be a showcase for Keith Chandler. I think he's one of the top two-way talents in the area for Union. Union wins.
I'm going to go Union at home as well. I think it's a little bit closer than people expect. I think after last week and Gate City losing to Abingdon 2 weeks ago and the fact that Abingdon lost to John Battle, people are kind of expecting maybe Union runs away with this one. I don't think so. I think this is going to be a closer one out there. We're certainly going to be there long enough. I hope it's a close one.
Humdinger.
I'm going to go with our friends in Big Stone, though. I think Union gets this one. I thought they'd go 8-2 this year. I thought they'd lose to Science Hill and Graham and win the rest. Now they won one of those. Could it be a 9-1 year? What else could happen for the Bears? It's got to start tomorrow night, though. I'm going to go with Union. Alan Gregory from the Bristol Herald Courier. Joining us tonight is our Eastman Credit Union guest picker. Alan, thank you so much. Good luck with the picks. Safe travels out there this weekend.
Just an honor to hear be around you guys.
Well, it's an honor for us, my sir.
Yeah. Alan, it's an honor to actually, you know, talk with you on the phone. My wife reads your article to me every morning, and I just enjoy it.
Oh, wow.
Where does she read it to you at?
Before she goes to work.
Oh, okay, good. Alan, and of course, as I said earlier, we had Marty Smith on the show. Marty said Alan Gregory, a legend. That's a legend we just had on here, folks. A legend from the Bristol Herald Courier, Alan Gregory. So there you go, Alan. Marty said hello as well.
Yeah, I've known him for years.
I know you have. And that's why I wanted to make sure you pass on that message. We got a big show coming up next week, fellas. Joining us next week is the Pro Football Hall of Famer, two-time Super Bowl champion from Super Bowls 1 and 2, Jerry Kramer. Going to be on the show next week promoting his new book. Also, a little trivia time here for you fellas. Alan, you can jump in on this as well if you'd like to guess who the other guest is. He anchored SportsCenter for 18 years. Then hosted Football Night in America on NBC.
Oh, Dan Patrick.
Dan Patrick on the show next week as well. Looking forward to that conversation coming up next week. Don't want to miss any of these.
What's his new book?
Occasional Annals of Football, something about that. I don't know. Hey, if they'll come on, I'll promote anything. If they want to promote a website that maybe not be well accustomed to most people, I'll do it. I don't care. I'll do it, darn it. I'll do it for anything. But yes, Dan Patrick and Jerry Kramer on the show next week. That's 8 o'clock right here, as always, on Pigskin Picks next Thursday night. But coming up tomorrow night, we'll have Lehigh and Ridgeview for you here on WXM, and then over on our sister station, Gate City Union. Remember, special kickoff time, going back to the old way, and I like it if all games would be at 7:30, but just one, I don't like it. Kickoff at 7:30, pregame at 7 o'clock over there on WLSD with myself and Corey from Big Stone Gap, and UVA Wise on Saturday at 2 o'clock, pregame 1:30 when they host Limestone in their home South Florida Conference opener. So for Corey Sanchez, Zach Helton, I'm Jacob Towns, and we'll talk to you next week right here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Thanks for listening to Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Eastman Credit Union, and Delegate Terry Kilgore. Pigskin Picks is a production of Valley Broadcasting and Communications.